And nothing looks like it used to.
I just know you to have to either. You can go and enjoy each other's company or go home.
Yeah, take your hand, number off. Actually, I don't know if the battery out, so.
I used to give my grandmother so many. Give her a really rough time. She had a guy in her life. They would just do everything together.
Yeah. My wife had passed away.
Well, they would go to different movies, plays, whatever. They didn't really go a lot of places. Yeah. They wasn't dating.
Yeah.
He was divorced. He had no desire to get remarried.
Yeah.
They were big introverts. Yeah. But he liked her company. She liked his company.
She was real busy with the church. She teaches. They have a school. Weekends. She's involved with everything. So. But, you know, this summer, I'm gone for 3 months. All summer, I'm gone to the kind of fly fish and dog.
This is for me.
What's that?
The mic is fine.
Oh. Hello, welcome everybody. Glad to see you this great day that we've got, full of rain. We're glad you're here. Ready for potluck today. It's our holiday potluck. We're celebrating Thanksgiving, Christmas together. So we have a great, great dinner coming up. So hope everybody stays. We have gleaners on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. So they say be here at 10:55 because the food goes fast. If you know somebody that needs help, be sure and let somebody know because we have good stuff in the food pantry. We also have our Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesdays. And if you go to our webpage and click on prayer meeting, it'll take you right to it as long as you have the Zoom. So that's a great thing. Debbie worked that out good. Yeah. So remember to check the mailboxes for Christmas cards. And so Debbie made us a list of everybody, so you won't forget anybody. I've used this list all year, last year's list. So I really thank Debbie for doing this. So it's a great way to get everybody's Christmas cards, and you can just put them in the mailbox. You don't have to mail them.
And it makes a great prayer list.
Yes, it does make a good prayer list. That's a good idea. So anyway, I appreciate that, Debbie. Thank you. All right, starting in January, the first Sunday of each month, we're going to have a hymn sing. So it will be fun. You guys get to pick the songs, and everybody can open the hymnal, and we'll sing. So, and when Wanda is good at playing, thank goodness she can, as long as she knows the song, why, we'll be good. But it'll be kind of an old-fashioned worship, so we thought that would be fun to try for a while. And it'll be the same as the potlucks. So we'll have a hymn sing, and then we'll have potluck too. So it will be fun. But we'd have a good time trying. So, okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, your Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for this place we can come to worship, that we can fellowship with each other, support each other, Lord, and just praise your name. I just ask a special blessing on each one that's here today, Lord. Just bless this time that we have together. Let the outside world just kind of go away and just let us be fellowshipping in your name. We just give you praise, Lord, for all that you do for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Next, let's add.
Good morning, everyone. Today we begin our Advent season, and today we light the candle of hope. Christmas Lights by Ryan Duncan. James 1:12 reads, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." When I was a child living in Illinois, my father drafted me into his yearly Christmas decorating. Every December, with the snow heavy on the ground, the two of us would bundle up and tramp outside to begin putting up the Christmas lights. I hated putting up Christmas lights. The process always took forever, robbing me of my well-deserved break from school. To make matters worse, my father had a fondness of those icicle side lights that were supposed to drip down from the rooftop in the merry winter wonderland fashion. Except the high winds always blew the strands of light up into the gutters. So once again, we would have to go outside and set them right. It got to the point where I would do anything to avoid putting up Christmas lights. I hid, I threw tantrums, I'd sulk, and eventually my father decided dealing with both me and lights was too much work, and he set me free. Looking back now, I regret how short-sighted I was. I was so upset at having to do a few hours' work that I never realized how beautiful our house looked when it was all lit up, or how fulfilling it was to know I had helped my father make it that way. It's funny how our Christian walk can mirror the experience of setting up holiday decorations. At times, it can be difficult, and we can resent what we believe we're being denied. But take a look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in which a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Life offers us plenty of easy roads, and when it comes to living out the Christian life, these paths can be especially tempting. The world will tell us to go with the flow of the current of culture, to follow the path of least resistance, but God calls us to do differently. Christians are meant to reflect Christ's glory on earth, and this cannot be done without hard work, sacrifice, and grace. So whether you serve God through ministry or simply through your everyday life, remember to live in a way deserving of the prize. Consider whether you are running in such a way as to win the prize. And now for the lighting of the hope candle.
All right, you're going to stand. And we're going to start singing with "How Great Our Joy." So we sing really loud when it's dark words, and then we sing really low when it's the echo words.
Sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought, an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. with the Lord in heaven on high. Praise with the Lord in heaven on high. There shall be more, so he did say, in Bethlehem, the child today. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. There shall the child lie in a soul. This child who shall redeem us all. Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. This gift of God will cherish well, that ever joy our heart shall fill. How great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high.
Who made
Version. You know this one.
Close by me forever and to live with thee there.
Amen. You may be seated.
What was that? Yeah, the knee is acting 50, but the rest of me ain't. That's all it is. So. I don't know if the mind has even reached 30 yet. Come on. You're giving me too much credit. Talking about credit, though, God is good. He has credited us many blessings that we have not deserved. Amen? Amen. Yep. Let us give back from the bounty he has provided. Father God, thank you for this house of worship. Thank you for the people in it. Thank you that we can call each other family and call you Father. Thank you even more for walking every step of the human journey yourself, so that we can see that you will provide for us, and you know what it's like for us, every challenge in this life. Thank you, Lord, for coming as a little child, the best gift, the biggest offering we could ever receive, and remember to be like in our heart. Amen. I was just saying something to Teresa. I said, oh man, I had to work 5 days this last week. I could barely handle it. For those of you that, you know, had kids in school and teachers, no school in November seems like, you know, you get soft a little bit before that marathon before Christmas. And anyway, so Teresa said to me, oh, you're a big boy. You can handle it. I said, well, I'm almost, tomorrow I'll be making it to big boy age. So... but that's my praise. 50 years, God's been good. Every step of the way. And there's a few people sitting here in these pews that have seen all 50 of them. They're still here, so I must have done something right. Thank you, God. But there's a couple there. And if not, then there's some that at least knew me here. right? Yeah. Yeah. And then started running around with Brad and Andy Sundays at church. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's been a good ride. God is good. And he will continue to be good. And I don't even have to question that. Amen? It's not a question. It's a statement. Right? He is good. Am I always good? Well, if I'm honest. But he is always good. Yeah? Yeah. God is good. And sometimes he's so good to not give me what I want. So that's how good he is. So, does anybody have a praise or a prayer request about how God has been good to them? Or ask for help that we always need? Josh. Yeah. Josh is just lifting up many praises for family trip, time at the beach, at a family trip, peaceful time in a quiet, secluded place. I don't know about you guys, but there are some places in my life where I can just go there in nature, and he's always there. One of those for me, I don't know how many of you have ever been to Camp White Branch, right? But if I go to Camp White Branch Falls and no one else is there, I could stay there all day and it feels like 15 minutes. You know, I was blessed by the Eddings family when they were the camp managers so many years ago. I would go down and just spend a week or two there and run around the campground and learn it like no one else. I'd go to camp, I'd go to summer camp and I'd be bored. I'm like, really? Come on, the trail goes 8 miles that way. You know, but yeah. But that power of being in his creation, because it's him. It's him all around us. Yeah. Anybody else? Phyllis. Phyllis is praising God for Wink and everything he has come through. And the rock that he is, and the rock we know he stands on. God bless you, Wink. Debbie. Mm-hmm. Yep. The place looks great. Amen. Yeah, it looks good. Come, Lord. Come. We decorate the house for you. Debbie really prays, actually, a large contingent of the congregation, Gene and Lori for helping, and Bill and Donna. Bill was out cleaning up all the leaves. That's not a problem here with our oak trees. That could take a long time. So lots of that. And then I think I missed somebody else that she mentioned. And then Debbie and Judy were also here too. But the place looks great. I love the wreaths on the back wall. I've never had a 50th birthday that's been so double decorated down there. It's awesome. So, yeah. Anybody else? I know. Thank heavens. Well, next year I might have another 50th. That was Gene's recommendation to me, to keep having more 50ths. Judy. So Judy's lifting up two prayer requests, one for Lordy Cooper. They're going to take her and give her get her a chest x-ray to make sure that her lungs are still on the mend. And then also Lordy Cooper and then Helen Good, who's not with us but continues to struggle with her sight, has some misgrown eyelashes or something that are of a concern from all of her eye surgeries that will need to be corrected before they can continue restoring or trying to restore her sight. So prayer for Helen as well. Josh. Yes. Prayer for our sister Sherry Bagdonis, who's in the hospital. She was in the prayer chat. Yep. And?
Prayer for Lori. So not only has Lori Cooper got pneumonia, Lori Wiseman has pneumonia. She's definitely still in a lot of pain, and I asked for an update this morning, and rough night, rough walking.
So Linda is asking for a prayer not only for Lori Cooper, but for sister Lori Wiseman, and her pneumonia is pretty severe right now, and he asked for an update. We don't have one yet, but we can still continue to pray for her healing.
Yeah, and it's probably complicated because of her lupus.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the lupus complication to go through there. I know how that goes in my household, with my father-in-law having lupus too. Absolutely. So prayer for Lori Wiseman to overcome pneumonia. Bill. Bill is lifting up Greg Oriott, who is in the hospital and in need of continued prayer support to overcome his conditions, and prayer for the whole Oriott family. So I know my family has had, you know, our paths cross in the past. So prayer for the Oriott family and for Greg Oriott. Yes, let's continue to pray for our sister Vicky and her hearing. I don't know if she knows, but I've been trying to turn my head this way a little bit more so she can read my lips this morning. Hopefully that's helping. Yes, continue prayer for your hearing, sister. Absolutely.
We also need to be praying this week for our pastor as she's taking a trip.
Yes. We need to pray for Teresa, Pastor Teresa, and the trip she's taking, and for safe travels. And to make straight your paths before you. So Betty Culver is asking for prayer for a dental surgery she's having this week, and she's very anxious about it and would like some prayer support on that. Debbie. Most of us just get better with age. You're the same. Oh, wow. Three more Tuesdays. Debbie's lifting up two praises. One, her eyesight is actually improving, and she saw a doctor to get new prescription for that. And second, 3 more weeks until retirement. So, yeah, exactly. Now, you know, Debbie, God's got plans for you, so it's really rehirement, not retirement. But absolutely. Sarah. So prayer for Claire Bear. She's having her adenoids and tonsils out on December 27th. Prayer for her family to comfort her for 7 to 10 days after that. We will pre-buy ice cream. Don't worry. Popsicles are already in the freezer. We're good. So, yes. We got one of those form letters from our school district. Your daughter is missing a lot of school. That is concerning for us. And we're like, don't worry, it's concerning for us too. Yeah. Carolyn. So Carolyn is praising God for feeling much better physically of late, asking for that to remain the case, but then also asking for prayer for seasonal depression that she has had for the longest time. That it's not that severe and that the doldrums will not overtake her. Anybody else before we go? All right, family, let's pray together as we stay together. Father God, God Almighty, all-knowing, all-present, all-pervasive in our lives, watching over us, making straight our paths, guiding us for your name's sake, keeping us safe and providing for us as we don't even know. We say thank you. For being God. Forgive us when we try to take on that role in our lives or that role in the lives of others. Instead, Father, allow us to shine your light through us so that they want you. Lord, each and every one of us this next week, you've given us divine appointments. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see them. Give us the strength and courage to step through into them and make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, thank you for Christmas and Christmas time, a time to slow down, quiet our hearts, and appreciate the salvation you have always planned for us. Thank you. We celebrate your coming, and we celebrate your always being in us. Lord God, there have been many needs lifted today, and many praises. We thank you for physically feeling better. We thank you for better eyesight. We pray for eyesight to still be corrected. Lord, we praise you for people that have been overcoming this respiratory thing going around. And we ask, Lord, that you heal those in the middle of pneumonia, in the middle of respiratory distress. Breathe, Holy Spirit, new life into them as only you can. Reach into their lungs, heal their lungs, and bring them back to physical health and emotional stability. Lord, thank you. for your many gifts given. Lord, for those that are currently in the hospital, we lift them up. Lord, we ask that the hands and feet and minds and words of their doctors bring care and bring healing quickly. Give wisdom to care teams. Bring healing to hearts, minds, and bodies. Lord, we lift up those who are of this body and can't be here today. And Lord, we begin to ask that you return to this body those you have appointed to keep it going for generations. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you get into the hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, knock loudly on the hearts of those in leadership in this nation, local and state and federal. Just keep knocking, and we'll keep praying that you, Lord, will restore sanity and wisdom and knowledge to the hearts and minds of those that lead us, so that all may benefit from your goodness. Return us to being a shining city upon a hill that shows your love, your grace, your peace through the strength of who you are in us to this world. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Any kiddos out there? Here's one that's been chomping at the bit. Uh-oh, which song are we doing? Come on, Bubba. Come on, Bub, come sing with me. Joy to the World. I think Landon knows this one. This is one of Landon's favorites. You know Joy to the World, Bubba? You know Joy to the World? Are you ready to try it? Oh, it's okay. It's safe. It's in a big handle. Then we will come up and blow it out really quickly. Will you help keep an eye on it for safety? Will you help be our fire watchman? They're important people. You will? Okay, good. Now, let's sing a song. Are you ready? Joy to the World. Are you ready?
Well, if we used water to get it.
Well, if we had to, we will. Okay? Look at that. Look, Judy's got water right there in case we need it. Okay? All right, you guys ready? Bub, the world, go Bubba.
The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Good job. Father, Lord, thank you for the joy to the world that you bring in giving us children. Thank you for the joy you bring coming as a baby. Thank you for being the source of all joy in this world. Lord, watch over these little ones. Let our houses be places of joy so that they go forth and share it with others. Amen.
Well, we can count on we are in good hands with Landon around. He's going to help take care of us, right?
Amen.
That's some good getting. Thank God for people who care about others. And good. Yeah, it won't tip over. We should be fine. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord, to be with fellow believers in Christ. Good to see your faces today. So good morning, one and all. Today marks the beginning of the Advent season, and we'll be celebrating the season by lighting of the Advent wreath each week. So our sermons will coincide with the candle's theme, and so today's theme is hope. So that's what our sermon is going to be about, a reason to hope. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 2. Was that you, Debbie, who sent out reading each chapter of Luke? Yeah, that's a good thing to do. So then by the end of the month, if you read one chapter of Luke each day, you'll get through the whole book and you'll have the Advent story. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Now Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Amen to God's word. What a fascinating encounter of Jesus' earliest days. Advent is a time to help us remember the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ, the arrival of Christ. That's what the word Advent means. For if he had not come the first time, as God has promised, there would be no second coming, right? He cannot return for us if he had not first come. And the purpose of us as a community of believers of Jesus Christ is to pause every year at this time of year and reflect on Christ's second coming and how to appropriately respond. I know, so there's going to be a lot of scripture reading around the first advent of Christ. But it's not because we're supposed to remember the baby in a manger. Jesus isn't a baby. He hasn't been a baby for a long, long, long time. The purpose is to remember he came once as a baby, and he's going to come back again with all power in his hand. And we need to be ready. That's why we pause every year to remember the advent of Christ. So today's passage has two witnesses of the baby Christ's advent. Again, advent means arrival. As was Jewish custom, based on the law of Moses, male children were to be circumcised on their 8th day of life. Often parents held the naming ceremony at the same time of the circumcision, as it's recorded in verse 21. So we started with, verse 25 or so? But if you go right above that, text, Mary and Joseph are having Jesus circumcised, and they name him. That's typical of the Jewish tradition. Hebrew children are usually named after a relative. So it's unusual for both John the Baptist, if you remember his story, and Jesus, that they're not actually named after relatives. They're not named after their kinfolk. So you may remember in John the Baptist's story, people question who he might be named after because they don't recall a relative named John. They're like, John? You got a cousin John, Uncle John, Grandpa John? Like, who's John? Where did this name come from? And the same thing happens with Jesus. Well, we don't have any Jesus. Is there a Mary, are you related to a Jesus? Well, is Joseph related to a Jesus? Like, what's with this name? It's because the angels gave specific directions to both of their parents, to John's parents and to Jesus' parents. This is what you're going to call your baby. So he's not named, Jesus is not named after a grandfather, uncle, or male cousin. He is given the name of Yeshua because his name means, literally, Yeshua means to rescue, to save, to deliver. And that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to save his people, and not only the people of Israel, but all people. This is what Jesus was born, and that's why he first came, because his mission was to save all of humanity, to rescue us from the hands of the enemy and deliver us back into God's hands. So now remember this also. Circumcision is a physical sign of the covenant relationship between the people of Israel and God. And God made that covenant with Abraham. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 17, and you see God making that covenant with Abraham. And so that day moving forward, all of the males then get circumcised to remind themselves of the covenant relationship they have with their Creator. So when you get to verse 22 of this chapter, we see Joseph and Mary making their way to the temple so that Mary can participate in the purification ceremony, which is about 40 days postpartum. So that's also, again, in the Mosaic law, purification rituals happen for men and women. And after giving birth of a male, you go to the temple to participate in the purification ceremony, which is what they're doing today when we get to this passage. And the occasion affords the two elder believers, Simeon and the prophet Anna, to see the manifestation of God's promise of a Savior. I can't imagine how that must have felt to know that that is the Messiah. The long-awaited for Messiah is finally here. Now, for some reason, while reading the text this time around, the lyrics of the Christmas hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," they came to me. And I think the song captures Simeon's and Anna's sentiments of hope. Hope realized, as it refers to Christ the light, and Jesus being the hope throughout the years. It just hit me in a different way. So I'll share the lyrics with you. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shine the everlasting light." That's Jesus. "The hopes, Jesus, and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." So it's not the town of Bethlehem that's the light or fulfilling the hopes. It's that baby Jesus who was born in that little town of Bethlehem, who's shining the light and providing hope. So let's talk about this concept of hope. Sister Debbie has a slide for us so that you can see the definition of hope, because I'm going to read it out to you, but you can also be looking at it at the same time. Merriam-Webster defines hope as this: to cherish a desire with anticipation, brings another song to my mind, anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. This is what you're hoping. hope also means trust. It's a synonym for trust. Look at what trust says. Assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or truth of someone or something. Dependence on something future or contingent. Contingent means if XYZ happens, then ABC happens, right? But listen to what it also says. To desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. To expect with confidence. I like that. Hope. To expect with confidence. And this is something you should also know about the word hope. For those of you who are grammarians, I love words. It's both a noun and a verb, right? You have hope, and then you can actively be hoping for something. So it's both a verb and a noun. And so it's important to us because we're going to see evidence of this in both of the characters that are laid before us in this passage of Scripture. Simeon illustrates for us both forms of the word hope. He's actively hoping for the advent of the Messiah, and he has a hope to see the Messiah before he dies. Actively hoping for the Messiah to come shows up as waiting. So when you're hoping, you are waiting. You are expecting something, right? So he's actively waiting and hoping for the Messiah to arrive. And he's waiting for God to come through on his promise. Because the promise of the Messiah was long, long time ago. And here he is, Simeon, waiting to actually see with his own physical eyes the Messiah. Now, we've talked about this before. It can take a long time to see God's hand moving. And yet, he is moving nonetheless. All the signs around you may say, I doubt if he's actually heard my prayer. I doubt if he actually cares about my prayer or my concerns. But just because we can't always see it doesn't mean that God is not yet moving. So this is why we have to continue to hope. We don't hope in anything. We don't hope in ourselves. We don't hope in the people around us. We hope in God himself, right? So his hope is to see that Messiah before he dies. Now, actively hoping, like I said, for the Messiah to come shows up as waiting. Actively hoping for the Messiah to arrive means waiting for God to come through on his promise. Sarah kind of gave up on waiting for God to provide her children. We talked about her a week before last, I think. She grew old, and God reminded her of his promise to Abraham, and she laughed. She was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm done hoping that. It took you too long, God. But then when she got busted, she believed again. But did she really believe, Sister Vicky? Did she? Because what does she go and do? She still lost patience with God and decided to help him. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever decided to help God, but it doesn't quite work out like we're thinking it's going to, right? You don't really end up helping God out. But that's what Sarah did. She had hope in the beginning because, like, okay, this is cool. But then after times kept going, as she got older, she was like, I don't think this is going to happen. And then when God says, no, it's still going to happen. She's like, okay, well, let me help him make it happen. And then this is why we have the story of Ishmael and all the things in Hagar, how that actually turned south. It was not helpful. But yet, God still moved despite her lack of faith. Despite her losing hope in Yahweh, he still fixed things. Simeon, on the other hand, is described as righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah. is the way that Scripture defines him, describes him. The definition, remember, from Merriam-Webster says, to desire with expectation of attainment. That means you're expecting for that one thing to happen, whatever the one thing is. And also to expect with confidence. This is what Simeon does. He expects with confidence. Why? Because he is serving Yahweh, the creator of everything, the God who wants to be in relationship with his people. So he expects with confidence that God really is going to do this thing. Simeon was expecting God to reveal his Messiah. He didn't know the day or the hour, but he nonetheless expected God to fulfill his promise, no matter how long it took. Simeon had grown old, just like the prophet Anna. He was genuinely expecting and trusting God, so much so that the Spirit of God directed him to visit the temple the day that Jesus was there with his parents. Isn't that something? The Spirit led him. Now, oftentimes, we don't remember, I don't think many of us remember, that the Spirit is still existing in the Old Testament and the New, before John the Baptist comes along and declares that the Spirit of God is with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been and moves on the prophets and lots of the believers before then. And this is one of those times where it's called to our remembrance. Oh, yes, His Spirit was always at large, at work, right? And so he works within Simeon. He says, hey, today's the day. Make sure you get to the temple today. And so he sees Mary and Joseph, and he gets to hold the Messiah in his arms. That's such an amazing thing. Now, side note, I'm not sure why Mary and Joseph trusted a complete stranger to hold their newborn, but hey, it's a part of the narrative and we're going to go with it. Modern parents, I do not advise this. Complete strangers holding your baby? Okay, that's a side note. Because the point of the story is Simeon gets to see the promise realized. His hope for just his brief lifetime is actualized right there, and he gets to hold the Savior in his arms. And then he gets to say to God, oh, thank you, God, for this privilege. I can now go and be with you and be at rest. I have seen your promise fulfilled. That was his hope. He had hope in God, and God did it. Because of his hope in God, Simeon lived his life like he hoped in God, meaning his life reflected his hope. This is why he's recorded as a devout and righteous man. Because of his hope in God, he lived his life reflecting that hope. His reason for hope was the promise that God would one day fulfill his promise of the Savior. And that's how he lived. Every day he got up looking for it. Is this going to be the day when the Savior will come? How can I tell other people to prepare for the Savior coming? That's what he did. And that's how we should be. Because we know who Jesus is, because we know who God is, we know about God's love, we too should every day, okay, this might be the day. Let me make sure I shine my light. Let me make sure I pray for somebody. Let me make sure I spread joy and love and peace and forgiveness. Why? Because the Messiah is coming. Because of my hope, I live that hope out, just like Simeon. And notice what Simeon says. He doesn't simply acknowledge Jesus as the Savior of Israel. He says just very particular words. He says that Jesus is prepared. He's the prepared Savior of all people. Now, many Jews back then just thought that the Savior, the Messiah, would come and save them specifically. This is why we see a lot of the conflict, ongoing conflict in the Middle East, because they're still thinking that that little piece of land is just for them, right? They don't understand the Messiah came for everybody, not just the people of Israel. So listen to his words, verse 32. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. What does that mean to be the glory of the people of Israel? Because God chose Israel to be that lineage that would birth physically the Messiah. That's why Jewish people are a blessing to the rest of the world, because it comes to their lineage, it comes to their community, but it's not just for their community. The Messiah is for everyone. And that's the beauty of Jesus. After holding the babe in his arms, as I said earlier, he says to God, okay, I'm good. I'm ready to walk into eternity. I've lived my life as best as I could, reflecting who God is and in the hoping of his Messiah. So now, let's go to the prophet Anna. She too was waiting for the revelation of the Messiah. She had waited with anticipation until an old age. And depending on how the translation is actually iffy, we don't know, scholars say, if she lived to 84 or at the age of 84 is when she actually saw Jesus. But either way, she's old. Right? Like Sarah and Abraham. I've been waiting a long time for this Messiah to come. And yet, she still anticipated his coming. The scripture describes her as living to 84, or being 84. She dedicated her life to God. And despite the setbacks in her life, because you have to understand this, she was widowed at a young age. She had no children. So remember, we've talked about this maybe a while back, that as back in those days, as a woman, you relied on your husband to take care of you. And once your husband passed away, you relied on your children to take care of you. She had no children. Her husband died young. So who's going to take care of her? She didn't even have a family to go back to. So she's relying on others for her livelihood. Housing, food, clothing, all the things. Now that could have set her off and why do I need this God who's supposed to be sending a Messiah? I have to fend and fight for my everyday living, right? She could have had that attitude, but she didn't. She kept her hope alive by hoping in God, who she knew would come through on his promise of the Messiah. And so this is how she spent her life. She committed herself to being in the community and being at the temple every day. So much so that the scripture describes her as living at the temple. But we know no one lived at the temple. Not even the priests did. But what that means, if you translate that into modern tongue, she was at the church all the time, is what it was saying. What was she doing there all the time? Well, look at the scripture. Praying, fasting, worshiping God, and because she was a prophet, she was speaking what thus says the Lord, because that's what prophets do. And on that particular day, after seeing Jesus, she went around preaching about the arrival of the Savior. Now, this is interesting because before, as a prophet, she would tell people, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, and now that she got to see the Messiah with her own eyes, her sermon changed. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. Are you ready? The Messiah is here. And that's what scripture describes her as. She went around telling everybody that came in, and they were like, what? What does she mean the Messiah is here, right? The Messiah had finally come. So she gets to share and tell people about that. Now, the Messiah is long awaited for, because it's been about, if you go back, biblical scholars will say it was about 1500 years since the Messiah was promised. Because if you go back to Genesis, It's the fall of man. We call that chapter 3. God tells Adam and Eve that their offspring would bruise the heel of the enemy. That's really like one of the earliest signs that God had a plan. He had already been planning how he was going to get humanity back to himself. And he declares it to Adam and Eve back then. Anna had hope in God, just as Simeon and the many others who kept their hope alive, that God's Messiah would be revealed and received. Her hope was realized before death came for her. And so she went around rejoicing about that. So Anna is another example of how hope can shape our daily life. She didn't let all the negative life experience get in the way of her hope in God. Because sometimes that happens. She may have been more dedicated to God because of her life experience. I mean, there's no one else to better trust in than God himself, right? When things are so bad, who do you trust in? You trust in God. And that's who she chose to trust in. And her life showed it. She had hope, and her hope was manifested in her life because she showed that hope, the cause for her hope. So what exactly does that mean for us today? We're not looking for a little baby in a manger. Please don't pray to baby Jesus, because he's not a baby, right? We don't go there. But what does that mean, though? Do we still have a reason to hope? It is true that Jesus has already come and gone, and he's coming again. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we still have a reason to hope. We don't hope like Simeon and Anna are those who were looking for the Messiah's first advent. It was a mystery to them, remember? Who the Messiah was going to be, when he would be born, when he would show up, how he would interact with everything. But we live after the revelation of Christ. We know who he is. The test for us is to wait in just as much anticipation, like Simeon and the prophet Anna, for Christ's second return. We should be excited about Jesus coming back. We talked last week about not knowing the day or the time of Christ's return. He won't call us and schedule an appointment. And he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And remember, Sister Debbie, if people invite you, come on the mountain. We're going to stand here and just, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Instead, be ready for his return. How do we do that? Despite life's hardships, despite ups and downs, we keep our hope alive. We should be excited, ready to share how a faithful God kept his promise of a Savior, and he will send that Savior back for all of those of us who believe. That's our hope. That's our reason to hope. And that's how our hope in God manifests in our daily life. This is why we let our light shine. This is why we are the salt of the earth, because we know whose hands we are in. We don't mourn like those who don't have hope. Anyone who dies, who that we know that dies in Christ, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. And more importantly, we're going to see God and live with God eternally. So this is why our hope should help us be ready to witness to who Christ is, how he's impacting our lives for the better. And so whether we die before he returns or we're alive when he does return, Jesus Christ is our hope. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the hope in Jesus Christ. We're not puzzled as people of the old days that were looking continuously for the Messiah. Is he here? Is he there? Is it this one? Is it this person? We don't have to think about those things because we know who Jesus is. The challenge for us, God, is to remain hopeful and to be about your business until Jesus Christ comes again. So I pray now for all the believers worldwide that we be about your business, to be ready, to stop worrying other people because they're not living their life as we want them to live, but to manage ourselves. Focus on how we can share your love with others. Focus on how we can serve others so that they can understand who you are. Help us, God, to be like Jesus so that people around us will wonder and question and be curious. How is it that we still have a smile on our face when so much adversity is happening in our lives? We'll be able to tell them, oh, it's because of my faith. God gives me comfort. God gives me peace. And we can share our testimonies and be witness like Simeon and be a witness like the prophet Anna. This is the Messiah. He is here. Help us to go from this place telling people he is here. And at the same time, he's coming again. Why? Because he lives in our hearts. And this is how we are empowered to love. This is how we are empowered to forgive. This is how we are empowered to be kind and speak truth to power. Jesus Christ is our hope, now and in the world to come. We thank you, God. Bless us now in this Advent season to shine our lights even brighter. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's finish with a song and we'll come back with our benediction.
All right, you can stand. We're going to close with Emmanuel.
Another name for Jesus. Not only is he the Savior, the Rescuer, the one who would deliver his people, but he is God incarnate. That means God living right here with us. What a wonderful desire of God to want to be known by his people, to live with his people, and live among his people. That's our gift of Jesus Christ to us. That's the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit who's in our hearts. So as you leave this place, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, know that Emmanuel is with you no matter where you go, whether you're having a good time or not so good time. God is still with you and he cares. Amen?
Amen.
So go in his peace. Go with his strength and his courage. Go in his love until we meet again. God be with you.
Amen.